O Yahweh,
teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your command. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good.
Good morrow to all my white Anglo-Saxon brothers and sisters. May Yahweh cover you with peace and health. This is part 14 of Sickness vs. Health. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Sickness vs. Health is found in the Word Studies menu. We're told over and over that if we shall indeed obey Yahweh's voice and do all that He instructs, then He will withdraw afflictions and illnesses away from the midst of us. Sicknesses and calamities and afflictions are warning signs from Yahweh that you are wandering out of the way. It's time to examine yourself. Let's get right into it. We left off in 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the pattern of sound or uncorrupt words, which you have heard of me, in belief and love which is in Christ Jesus. The doctrine of today's churches are teaching a pattern of corrupt words which have been altered by the Jews, the translators, the Scofield Bible, and the King James Perversion. The King James is a version of a version of a version of preceding Bibles. It was also edited by Sir Francis Bacon, a Freemason, Rosicrucian, queer sorcerer. Even King James was bisexual. But that doesn't matter, because the King James is the inerrant Word of God, right? Wrong. Blessings don't come from dangerous ingredients of error. Health does not come from poisonous falsehoods. Healing does not come from Jewish Jesus. When our Israelite forefathers came to America, they brought the Geneva Bible, which has way less errors than the Queen James Bible. 2 Timothy 2:3. You, therefore, endure hardness, or endure affliction, as a good, or as an ideal soldier of Yeshua Christ. The Greek reads as, you then, suffer you evil emotion as an ideal warrior of Yeshua the Anointed. Verse 4. No man that warreth, or no man being a soldier, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, in that way would please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. There are two different types of affliction. Affliction from Yahweh for straying from the way, and affliction from man for standing for the way. The ideal warrior of Yeshua would please him. The soldier of Jewish Jesus would please the Jew's father, the devil. Paul the prophets, disciples, and watchmen suffer affliction from men for the truth. Verse 9. Wherefore I suffer trouble, or I suffer affliction, hardship, or evil, as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of Elohim is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the chosen ones' sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation, or the preservation, deliverance, or health, that is in Christ Yeshua with eternal glory. Defending the belief, 2 Timothy 4:2. You must proclaim the word. You must stand ready, opportunely and inopportunely. You must bring convincing proof. You must censure. You must exhort with all forbearance and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure, or they will not tolerate or maintain sound doctrine, meaning whole or uncorrupt doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch you in all things, endure afflictions, or endure evil emotions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. The Greek has the last part as, fully wear the service of you. Just because there are churches and preachers and denominations and millions of people worshiping Jesus and the Lord does not mean that they are maintaining sound doctrine. If all these people were doing right in the Master's sight, then why are so many of them sick and afflicted? They may say they aren't sick, afflicted, or doing wrong, but that is because their understanding is shallow, based on falsehoods, and simply not according to Scripture. Their moral and spiritual compass has been broken. Anyone can read Scripture, but do they follow and do what Scripture says? The answer is no. The demons can quote Scripture. Verse 20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left in Miletum, sick, or unfirm, or infirm. Left is G620, apolipeo, a verb which means to leave behind, desert, or forsake. Was Trophimus left behind because he was infirm, or because he was unfirm? We don't know. Paul left Titus in Crete to set in order the assemblies and establish elders in every city, teaching them to be blameless as stewards of Yahweh. Titus 1:9. Holding fast the trusted word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound, or by uncorrupt teaching, both to exhort and to convince, or to convict, or confute, or expose the gainsayers, or contradictors. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers of minds, especially they among the circumcision. The circumcision is the house of Judah, Israelites dwelling in Judea. Among the Judeans were also the children of the house of Esau, who were the Edomite Jew scribes and Pharisees. The religious sects were under Jewish control at that time. 1 Timothy 1:6, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. They perverted the laws of Moses into the traditions of the elders, known today as Judaism. Judaism is what today's Judeo-Christianity comes from, and today's pastors are teaching these lies. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake, One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." This witness is true. Wherefore, expose them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, or that they may be whole or uncorrupt in the belief. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. The churches are giving heed to Jewish fables, commandments of men, and they rebuke truth. They are corrupted by denominational doctrine. There are no Christian denominations because there is only one gospel. Any other gospel is a denomination, a Jewish fable, and corrupt. What is a denomination? A denomination is a group of religious congregations having its own organization and distinctive faith. Can it get any clearer? Are you starting to see that these people are not only physically sick in many cases, but are mentally sick and infirm? And they are ensuring spiritual destruction. It matters who and what we believe. Teach sound doctrine, Titus 2:1. But speak you the things which become sound doctrine, meaning whole, uncorrupt, that the aged men be sober, serious, temperate, sound, or whole, or uncorrupt, to the belief, in love and in endurance. Constant warnings and exhortation about keeping sound doctrine. What is foolish is not ever entertaining the idea that what you believe may be corrupt. People get second opinions when it comes to buying something, or when it comes to medical advice or which doctor to use, or of references for businesses or services, or a college, a place to eat, or for an idea or even vacation spots. So why don't people think twice when it comes to religious beliefs? Probably because God loves everybody, and if you declare yourself saved, well, then you're under grace anyway. Jesus is whoever and whatever you want to believe, because what you believe makes your belief true. Now that is some ignorant, sick, unfirm, and unhealthy confidence. Maintaining good deeds. Speak no evil, and show meekness unto all men. For we were once disobedient, foolish, deceived, and serving other gods. But that is why Yahweh sent his Son. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, or restored, made us whole, healed, preserved us, by the washing of restoration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Greek has again becoming, or of renaissance of the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Renascency is a noun meaning the state of springing or being produced again. It is the revival of learning and culture. Hypernyms are resurgence, revitalization, revival, revivification, bringing again into activity and prominence. Paul speaks about Yahweh's rest, which he promised us, that there still remains a rest to the people of God. Hebrews 4:10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as Elohim did from his. So people who claim they are saved can cease from their own works? No. Verse 11. Let us be eager, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example, or pattern, of unbelief, or of unpersuadableness, or disobedience. speaking of the forefathers in the Exodus, they thought they were all saved and did not change their pagan ways, being stiff-necked, unpersuadable, and therefore disobedient, and were all destroyed for it. Only Joshua and Caleb of the generations that left Egypt made it into the Promised Land. Yeshua, the great high priest, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua, the son of Elohim, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot sympathize with the feeling of our infirmities, or weaknesses, or unfirmnesses, but was in all points tried like as we are, yet without sin. Christ was tried just as we are tried. He lived a sinless life. He set the model in which we are to follow, so we do not pass this mortal test before we die either. Being saved is a church doctrine. The reason for the sacrifices by the high priests. Hebrews 5:1 in the Greek. For every high priest, being taken from among men on behalf of men, is established in the things pertaining to Yahweh, that he would both offer gifts and sacrifices for errors. Verse 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are the ones straying? For that he himself is also compassed with infirmity, or weakness, or unfirmness. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. The priests had to make atonements for their own sins as well. Paul is showing that Christ became our high priest and mediator, and his death ended the priesthood, its rituals and ordinances. This is what was done away with. But the churches insist that the law was nailed to the cross and we are all under grace now. And many churches still have priests. There are no mediators between you and the Father except the Son. Verse 9. And being made perfect, or accomplished, he became the author, or causer, of eternal salvation, or deliverance, or health.
Unto all them that obey him.
Eternal is G166, agionios, an adjective meaning perpetual, past, present, and future time. It's related to G165, agion, a noun meaning an age, present, past, and future. Yahweh was deliverance and health to our ancestors. Yeshua is deliverance and health to our people today. Yeshua is our restoration, deliverance, and salvation into the future kingdom age. It's mortal preservation of health and deliverance from calamities in this life. It's spiritual and eternal deliverance and salvation into the kingdom for those who obeyed him in this mortal trial called life. Nobody is saved yet. If you are claiming that you are saved, then you are possessed with a Jewish creepy spirit and are being saved for the fires of Gehenna. Being saved is the same thing as being damned, for you are declaring your ignorance to sound doctrine and discard for the truth. If you need a second opinion, don't get it from the 32,999 other damning denominations. Chapter 7 explains the order of Melchizedek. In a nutshell, the priesthood went through three stages. The first was that the oldest living patriarch was the high priest. This began with Adam and continued to Nahor, Abraham's older brother, whom he paid tithes to. The order then went to the office of the priesthood, which came through Jacob's son Levi. Aaron and Moses were the great-grandsons of Levi. The sons of Aaron became the office of the high priest to the nation of Israel. By the time just before Christ, the Edomite Jews infiltrated the Levitical priesthood and replaced all the Israelites, except a very few such as Saul, Paul, Nicodemus, Uncle Joseph of Ramathaim, or Arimathea, and possibly Gamaliel. John the Immerser was the last legitimate Levitical priest, and it was John who cleansed the remaining sons of Levi and prepared Christ for the final sacrifice. When Christ died, the priesthood ended, the rituals and sacrifices ended, and he also made void all the added decrees the Jew Pharisees installed. Christ is now the only and high priest of the order of Melchizedek. All our sacrifices must be made through him only. Those offerings are not by blood, but by obedience, walking in the way, witnessing, making firm the unfirm, and visiting the infirm and strengthening them. Verse 17, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness, or unfirmness, and unprofitableness thereof, or the unbeneficialness thereof. In verse 18, Paul is talking about the disannulling of the commandment of the ritual sacrifices, not the Ten Commandments or the food laws. Verse 28, for the law makes men high priests which have infirmity, or weakness, or unfirmness. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, makes the Son, having been perfected for the ages. The law is not what saves you, but it's there to guide you and keep you in the way. A speed limit sign does not get you where you're going, but it's there to keep you from going too fast and possibly injuring or killing you or someone else. You can go as fast or slow as you like within the guidelines. If you go over the limit, a cop gives you a ticket. The cop can also show mercy and let you off with a warning. That is no different than a sickness or calamity warning you that you are traveling outside the way. If you get too many tickets, your license can be taken away. Same thing with your mercy, salvation, and health. Chapter 11 is the faith chapter. It covers the faith of all the patriarchs of the BC Israelites. Faith is belief. All the examples in this chapter are of the belief of our ancestors. They all had the same and right belief. Hebrews 11:32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through belief subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, or out of unfirmness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tried, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, or pressed, or troubled, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. The righteous dead will receive of the promises before we do. Luke 11:28. Blessed are they that hear the word of Elohim and keep it. John 20:29. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. From 2 Ezra 13:20, "Yet it is better to come into these things," referring to the second advent, and basically 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 10, "though incurring peril, than to pass from the world like a cloud, and not to see what shall happen in the last days. He who brings the peril at that time will himself protect those who fall into peril, who have works and have faith in the Almighty. Praise Yahweh. Understand, therefore, that those who are left are more blessed than those who have died." Hebrews 5:9, "And being made perfect, Christ became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him." All those described in chapter 11 did not just believe, as the churches teach. All these acts proved their allegiance, or their faith, or their belief. While the pew warmers are floating around with their heads in the clouds, thinking they are going to escape judgment, the true believers are building the kingdom and being made perfect through obedience. Hebrews 12:3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction," or controversy, or opposition, "of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied," or faltering, "and faint in your minds." The Greek has the last part as, "that you not be faltering to the loosening of your souls." The just believers don't falter in Jewish Jesus, or that they've claimed they're saved, or falter about their guaranteed rapture ticket. They don't know that these damning beliefs are loosening their souls. They don't understand that they will be needing a dentist and a box of Kleenex tissues in that day, when the king will say, "Depart from me, you Jew worshippers that hate my words." Wearied is G2577, kamno. It means to tire, grow weary, to falter, to be sick. The next part of Hebrews chapter 12 deals with the chastening of the Father. Why would you be chastened? Because you are wandering out of the way. Do not despise the discipline of Yahweh. Hebrews 12:6, "For whom Yahweh loves, he disciplines, and scourges every son whom he receives." If you endure chastening, or discipline, Elohim deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father disciplines not? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, or benefit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, or weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Be turned out of the way is G1624, ectrepo, and one of the meanings is to turn away from, to shun a thing, to avoid meeting or associating with one. If you are not on the straight path, then you are as the lame, the crippled, limping, infirm, and unfirm. Hebrews 13:20, "The Elohim of peace, that brought again from the dead our Master Yeshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may Yahweh make you perfect," or may Yahweh make you restored, or equipped, "in every good work to do his will." working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Yeshua Christ, to whom the honor be, forever and ever. Amen. The Greek reads, may he be adapting, or equipping you. Hearing and doing the word. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, or quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man accomplishes not the righteousness of Elohim. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, or residue of evil, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save, or which is able to make whole, restore, preserve, or heal your lives. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, defrauding your own selves. Hearing and doing the word equals righteousness, which equals healing your life. Hearing and just believing equals not doing the word, which equals deceiving and defrauding yourself, which equals sickness, calamity, and personal damnation. James 2:8. If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well, or you do ideally. This is ideally what a Christian is. Belief without works is dead. James 2:14. What does it benefit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith or belief, and has not works? Can that belief save him? Or can that belief save or heal or make whole or restore him? The just believers would say yes, because they believe that because they declare themselves saved, that they're saved now. So how will they explain to Christ why they don't have works when he judges them? Proverbs 24:12. If you say, see, we did not know this, would not he who weighs the heart discern it? He who watches over your life, would he not know it? And shall he not repay man according to his work? Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Adam shall come in the glory of his Father with his messengers, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Oh, wait! I forgot. The churches are going to be raptured and escape the judgment and tribulation. Wrong. Then the just believers will be saying, but Lord, but Lord! Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out many devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And they will still say, but we know you. Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. This is a trustworthy saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. It is really almost impossible to try to reach these just believers, because they love their Jaime Jesus and their false sense of salvation they think they have. They are abominable because they worship a Jewish Jesus and use pagan titles to call upon the Father. They are disobedient because they are antinomians, meaning they are against the law because they were taught it was done away with, and the Old Testament is about the Jews. So they don't know that it's our heritage, and as a result, They don't keep the appointed feast days, Shabbats, fasting, or food laws. And every work they do, they are reprobate and unapproved because it's done as a sinner and for a Jewish Messiah. And everyone they bring these killer doctrines and beliefs to, they are converting into twofold Antichrist children of hell, just like themselves. The Prayer of Belief, James 5:13 in the Greek. One who suffers ill or evil among you must pray. One who is cheerful must sing. Verse 14. Any sick or unfirm or infirm among you, let him call for the elders of the assembly and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Master. And the prayer, or the vow, of the belief shall save, or shall heal, make whole, restore to health, the sick, or faltering. And the Master shall raise him up, and if he had committed sins, they shall be sent forth away from him. Confess, or acknowledge, your faults, or offenses, or trespasses, one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or is strong. The Greek reads, the operating petition of a just one is availing. Avail means to assist, to effect the object, or bring to a successful issue. Strength without righteousness will rarely avail. Suppositions without proof will not avail. Medicines will not avail to stop the disease. With righteousness comes healing. John 9:31. Now we know that Elohim hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of Elohim and does his will, him he hears. Again, the churches do not worship Yahweh, and they do not do his will. How can they be a worshipper of Yahweh if they are worshiping a Jewish Jesus that does not exist? How can they do his will if they don't know his will, his laws, and don't need works? These people have wandered so far away from the way. They are in gross error. But that's what we are here for, to make firm the unfirm. Verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err, or wander, or fall away from the truth, and one correct him, let him know that he which corrects the sinner from the error of his way shall save, or shall restore or preserve a soul from death, and shall cover a multitude of sins. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, you have gained a brother. The example of Christ's suffering. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all reverence, not only to the good and gentle, or reasonable and lenient, but also to the crooked ones. Verse 19 in the Greek, for this is a benefit, if through the consciousness of Yahweh one endures suffering grief unrighteously. Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20 in the Greek, for what credit, if doing wrong and being chastened, shall you endure? But if doing good and suffering you endure, this is a benefit before Yahweh. When we have crooked masters, it's because as a nation we've allowed it, so we are persecuted the more for it. We must suffer as a people, endure, and make firm those who are unfirm, just as Christ did in his day in a crooked Jew-run Judea. Verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was abused, abused not in return, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, or by whose stripes you were freed from error and sin. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and overseer of your souls. G2390, ia omahi, a verb, means to cure, to heal, to make whole, to free from errors and sins. Live righteously in every circumstance and be healed, preserved, and freed from the penalty of sin. We did not listen to the warnings about allowing the Jews into our societies, and now we must endure all this crookedness. It's our punishment, and our test is to endure through it by continuing to live godly and edifying our weaker kinsmen by our example, which is exactly what Christ demonstrated. Peter talks about wives and husbands, that wives are to be in subjection to the husband, to be chaste and respectful. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, or more unfirm vessel, and as being heirs together of the favor of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Peter goes on to teach about suffering for doing right, for us to be of one mind and have compassion for each other, to be blessing and not railing, that we may inherit a blessing and not a railing, more cause and effect. Those who love life will see good days, and we are to eschew the evil. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please Yahweh, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Be ready to witness to others, and if you suffer for it, blessed you are. It's better to suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Again, two different types of suffering and affliction. Suffering as a Christian, 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The churches teach you that you will escape these fiery trials and tribulation when you are raptured. The scriptures teach that if you are not tried, if you don't suffer affliction, or if you're not chastened, then you're not a child of Yahweh's. So if you're raptured, then you have been separated with the goats. Christ never spoke of a rapture of the righteous. Read the parable of the wheat and the tares, which explains what has happened, is happening, and will happen. The evil is raptured. Scripture teaches that this life is a trial, the test, to show our allegiance through suffering. Why suffering? Because if you imitate Christ and live for the Spirit, then society will hate you and bring you affliction, which proves your allegiance. Verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that, when his honor shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be honored together. Verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of honor and of Elohim rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is honored. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or a busybody in other men's matters. Again, two different sufferings and afflictions. One is a blessing, the other is a cursing. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him honor Elohim on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Elohim, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous hardly be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of Elohim commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a trustworthy Creator. We suffer affliction from society when we live according to the way and witness for it. This is affliction for obeying the gospel. We suffer afflictions from Yahweh when we live according to society and witness for Jewish Jesus and live as an antinomian trans-Gentile just believer. This is affliction for disobeying the gospel. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Elohim, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The devil doesn't do this alone. He has many Jewish children and 33,000 duped followers. Verse 9. You, who resist these adversaries, by remaining firm in the belief, knowing that the same afflictions or sufferings are accomplished or experienced by your brethren that are in the society. But the Elohim of all favor, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Yeshua, after that you have suffered a while, makes you perfect, or restores you, adjusts you, equips you, establishes you, strengthens, and settles you. G2675, katartizo, means to repair, restore, adjust, mend, perfect, put in order, equip, strengthen. The devil and his crew of vagabonds, internationalists, and demons are constantly Genesis 3:15-ing us. The perpetual enmity against us, foretold by Yahweh. If we stand firm and continue to live according to the way, all his ways, he will equip us with what we need. He will restore us when we are weak. He will adjust us when we stray. He will heal us if we become infirm. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, or whereunto you do ideally, that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star, or light bringer, arise in your hearts. G2573, kalos, which means rightly, well, nobly, honorably, so that there shall be no room for blame. Take heed of what? His word. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John 5:35. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Prophecy also means to be able to interpret and teach. P. People think that they can conform Scripture to fit their interpretation of it, or that Scripture means something different to each person. Well, Scripture is the history and heritage of a family, the race of Adam, about our duty, for our learning, and for direction to follow. Verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of Elohim spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The holy men of Yahweh were indeed inspired. The translators throughout time, however, is another thing. Most of the translators did not understand the spiritual things of the Scriptures. Just like a translator of a book on how to build something or how to learn brain surgery is not a builder or a brain surgeon, so errors will occur, as well as deliberate tampering by those with agendas. Which is why we now have 33,000 denominations, millions of unhealthy Christians, millions already dead and awaiting the second death, and millions more headed into the ditch. False prophets and their punishment. 2 Peter 2:1. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, destructive systems of philosophy, even denying the master that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." All those Judeo-preachers may be good guys, zealous and full of knowledge, powerful at speaking, and a good example to the congregants. You must understand that on the surface they seem holy, godly, called, and guided by the Holy Spirit. But in fact and in reality, how good are they if they are full of mistaken knowledge and teaching you in error? How good are they if they are zealous and passionate for false doctrine? How can they be called and guided by the Holy Spirit if they are teaching the congregants errors, lies, a counterfeit doctrine, Jewish fables, mistaking identity of those in Scripture, ignoring the commandments and feast days and food laws, and teaching against them? How can all these denominations, preachers, and people be worshiping the truth when they all follow their own interpretations of already badly translated Scripture? How can the King James Perversion be the inerrant Word of God when it is one of the latest revisions of the story? Have you ever told a story and it got told by others to others and so forth, and then the original story you told has more events that didn't happen and many events that were left out, changing the whole story? People stopped using their brains and following the law on their hearts, and that's why they are all sick, afflicted, demon-possessed, and on their way to being eternally reposed. Peter goes on to bash the televangelists and those who sell the gospel. The false and deceived preachers are reserved for judgment, along with the angels that sinned. Peter reminds us of Yahweh turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, making an example of them, and that he delivered Lot, a just man living among the wicked and oppressed by the dissolute ones. Dissolute means loose behavior and morals, lewd, devoted to pleasure, not under the restraints of the law, in dissolute company. This describes today's society. Verse 8, "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed, or tortured, ordealized, tormented, his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The master knows how to deliver the righteous out of trials, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Psalm 34:17. "The righteous cry, and Yahweh hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." The unjust will receive wrath and destruction. The just, Yahweh hears and delivers. Ordeal, The last syllable is deal, to divide or distribute. An ancient form of trial to determine guilt or innocence. In Lot's case, and in ours today, we are ordealized and vexed by the society, by this satanic system, by the people in this system that are not awake and that are worshiping evil and falsehood. The way we conduct ourselves and live and witness to others is the form of our trial to determine if we know the way, if we follow the way, and continue in the way. If we do, then Yahweh will divide us with the sheep and from among the goats. Sheep go to heaven, goats go to hell. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Not just belief, but in practice. Walk in truth and prosper. Truth equals health. Verse 5. Beloved, you do trustworthily whatsoever you do to the brethren and to strangers, meaning sojourning Israelite guests, which have borne witness of your love before the assembly, whom if you bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, or worthily of God, you shall do well, or you shall do ideally, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, or taking nothing of the nations. They left their pagan ways, the ways of their pagan kinsmen, and went forth in the true word. Gentiles simply means nations. The context defines which nations are being referred to. Here, it is the pagan nations, which would be Adamic nations or non-Adamic nations. If you want to go forward worthily of God and as an ideal Christian, then you can't take the Jewish Jesus of the Gentiles with you. Gentiles are deceived, and Jewish Jesus is a desert demon. The churches are desert lands filled with dry bones.
We also rejoice in our afflictions. By James Michael.
Surgeon in the Royal Navy, 1757 to 1760.
We also rejoice in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Sometimes God kindly sends afflictions to chastise his people for sin and curb their carnal affections. Yet, at other times, he sends afflictions to exercise and improve their graces. Whatever my affliction is, the wisdom of him who sends it should make me embrace and bear it without repining. Afflictions do not spring out of the dust, nor come at random. Some of God's favorite ones have, for wise ends, had the severest afflictions. Affliction deadens the pleasures of sense and gives the soul a relish for spiritual things. It divorces the soul from the creature and draws it near to God. Affliction renders the creature tasteless and the world barren. It dispels the intoxicating juice of carnal pleasures and sensual delights. I should welcome whatever afflictions loosen me from this world and bring me nearer to God.